Well, before we go through the details of the sermon notes there, I want to show you again the structure. You know, I like structures, and a lot of structures in the Bible that help us understand sometimes the deeper meanings of the text. So imagine the story of the birth, well, the Annunciation. And by the way, there's more than one Annunciation, right? Jesus, there's an angel came to tell Mary, but there was a second Annunciation for John the Baptist, right? Zechariah, his father, was in the temple. Remember that? Okay, so this is how this story is organized. And again, sometimes like this, we've done this for two other stories, the beginning and the end are similar. And here they are, temple. Who's in the temple? Zechariah, right? The end of this couple chapter length story and narrative is somebody else in the temple. It's the boy Jesus. So those are like bookends, right? Now, the second part of the story, you have Jesus and John the Baptist being compared in the Annunciation. Angel appears to John the Baptist's dad, angel appears to Jesus' mom, right here. So it's compared. And the similarities come out. In the second to the end part of the story, the parallel part, it talks about here is that Mary is, in the story, but what we're trying to get at here is the structure. And you have the birth of Jesus compared. So Jesus, John the Baptist's birth, and then over here, you have the birth, all the way over, starting about right here. So the Annunciation of John the Baptist and Jesus, they're shown to be similar. And then over here, you've got the birth itself and the similarities. And right in the middle is something very important, like in all these stories. Very, very important. It's when Mary meets Elizabeth, and they're both pregnant at the same time. One with John the Baptist, one with Jesus. Now look at your form. A, the temple, is Zechariah. The answer to that is Zechariah. He's in the temple to start this whole narrative in chapter 1, verse 5. And then look at the end of the story, because that's how we're reading it, right? The comparison and the other part of this is at the end, and it is in the bottom, A with the dash, that's A paralleled, so there's something similar, and it's the temple. This time, Jesus. Jesus is the right answer for that blank. So then B, you've got Jesus and John paralleled in the Annunciations when the angels come, and then you have them paralleled and B with a asterisk, so B, not an asterisk, but it's a note, notation. So John and Paul are paralleled in their births, very similar. Now look at the top B. This gets kind of scary a little bit because of what it seems to do for John the Baptist. Look at, Gabriel appears to John the Baptist's dad, right, in John. See that Luke 1:11? And then the angel appears in Mary, Jesus' representative, right there. Now, look at John and Jesus in their births. Or, I'm sorry, the Annunciations. Look how similar they are. Both families have an angel encounter them. Both have a human reaction to the angel, kind of a startled, fearful. The angel in both of these men, when they had the angel appearances to their parents, the angel said, "Do not fear." Both talk about God's favor declared to these boys. Both talk about a future son. Both have a command to name a boy, one John the Baptist, one Jesus. Both have future greatness prophesied. Both have boys' future role prophesied. Both have human declares obstacle. Both have an angel who guarantees fulfillment. And both have exclamation of a woman. That's pretty similar, isn't it? It's too similar. It's on purpose. But it gets me a little nervous. Because John is kind of being elevated here, isn't he? I mean, he had the same thing. Angel came and all these parallels after that. Now look at the bottom, the second B. Jesus and John, their births are parallel. Look at them. Both have births, and they both have these parts to the births. Both have a time of birth arrives. That's the phrasing. Both of them say that there's joy shared with others. Both talk about circumcision and a name given. Both talk about a man full of the Spirit. Both talk about a prophecy about God, and in there is a light imagery. And then both have an evaluation of the child as being strong. Does this make you nervous? It makes me nervous. Christ is set apart. Jesus is the only Jesus, the only Lord, the only Savior, the only good one. It makes me nervous because it just elevates John. I mean, that's kind of scary. Where it all is fixed, though, however, is in the center, which many times in these stories with the structures like this, it's like a menorah, isn't it? Two candles down here, then two more candles, two more candles, two more candles, and then the middle. It has special significance because of its height and its centrality. So the middle part is when Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. Both women are pregnant, one with Jesus, one with John the Baptist. They meet, it seems to be, it could be different, they might walk in, but it seems to be right there on the doorstep, they interact. Here is where it shows who is the boss. This is who's the boss, right? Who's the boss? Well, we got three confirmations or affirmations of who the boss really is. Because it's kind of hard to tell the difference between Jesus and John. The Annunciation and the births, wow, they're so similar. But in the middle, it's clarified strongly. First of all, you have Elizabeth. What happened to Elizabeth? She gave this proclamation. She declared in the presence of Mary, "Blessed are you above women." So Elizabeth says, no, you're the boss. Jesus is the boss. You're the ones that the focus is on. You're the important ones. And blessed is the child you bear. Elizabeth says that. Also, you got the baby involved. John the Baptist affirms who's the best and the greatest. By what? By kicking and jumping and leaping, it says. I mean, it feels like joy. This baby gets all excited inside the womb in the presence of Jesus in the womb of Mary. And then you have Mary, and this is where the Magnificat comes. Perfectly placed in the center of this story in order to make sure everybody knows that Mary has the child that's special. Pretty neat, isn't it, how that works together? Do you know, one curious thought is, why do they do this to John? It seems clear, even in the Gospel of John several times, but it's clear that after John the Baptist dies, after Jesus dies, that there is this cult following of John the Baptist. I don't mean cult in the sense we think of it, but there's people who kind of kept being disciples of John and kept referring back to John rather than Jesus. And so what I think he does is he says, yeah, John the Baptist was a great guy. He spoke the word of God. Truly. He did what he was supposed to have done. And so John the Baptist is confirming himself. So these three confirmations in the middle make it clear who's boss. John the Baptist had work to do. Yes, and he did great things. You know, no doubt about it. But Jesus is the boss, and it wants to make it very clearly. The Magnificat comes right here. That's about Jesus, not about John the Baptist. John chapter 1 talks about the light. It says John the Baptist, early on in John, was not the light. He came to bear witness to the light. We have to make this distinction here because it's very clear. Because in churches, many times what happens is we lack clarity, just lack clarity on this issue. And what we have is Jesus elevated, but John the Baptist has a part to play, and a very important part to play. But we got to get Jesus right. In the church, many times, see, we're John the Baptist. The church preaches, baptizes, disciples, just like John the Baptist did. And that's what he did. And they're important things, but they're not the most important thing. We have to be careful if we get into this religiousness and we do not meet the right baby. We get into the wrong thing. It's like John the Baptist almost started like his own denomination. He didn't start it, but his disciples did. And what has to happen in the church is we have to get these things right. What are we and what is Jesus? Well, if you want to complicate things further, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Okay, we get that. But then he complicates it by saying, you are the light of the world. Again, makes me nervous. It seems like there's this comparison between Jesus and the church or us or me or you, and it makes me very uncomfortable. because we know that's not true. We know it's true because Jesus said it, but it's also at the same time not true, you know. So Jesus is the centerpiece here of this story. And it has to be the centerpiece of the church's story. Has to be the centerpiece of the church's story. But it's light. Maybe we can kind of describe it like this. At night, full moon is pretty bright, isn't it? It's very bright, incredibly bright. And but what is it? What's the brightness? It's a reflection. It doesn't have anything. It has no light whatsoever, except that it reflects. We are seeing the sunlight at night when we look at the moon. Something like this is going on. I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. John the Baptist and Jesus look so much alike, and yet they're totally different because there's one who is superior. And so the moon, we are moons, aren't we? I mean, Christ is the sun. Just like last night, the solar system, if this is the sun, which is the Christ candle, everything rotates around that. All the planets revolve around the sun in a solar system, and they make it is about that central piece. That's the centerpiece of all of it. So I'm the light, you're the light of the world. We are the light. In no way do we create the light. In no way do we have the power of the light. We only can reflect it as we allow the landscape of our life to bear witness to Christ as it is reflected off of us. That's what John the Baptist was. But he's important. We're important. We're important. We're important because it's our hands that feed, right? It's our mouths that speak the gospel. It's very important that we know who we are. We have a great part to play in God's work, but we are not the thing. We are not the thing. We are simply lights like the moon. And our goal is to reflect more and more of the sun, you know, to get to a place where our brightness is so great. But that's what it's all about, is Jesus. We've got to keep Jesus central. Got to keep it central, okay? While we take up our part in this partnership of sharing the gospel, caring for the needy, working righteousness and justice, we carry this mantle. But Christ is the one who fulfills it. And I just want to end with Jesus' words about he being the light for sure. But also from Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen.